Welcome. You are listening to the Retirement Lifestyle Show with Roshan Lungani, Eric Olson, and Adrian Nicholson. This show is an exploration of ideas to help you work toward your ideal retirement. Get ready for the financial independence of your dreams.
Welcome to the Retirement Lifestyle Show. I'm your co-host, Roshan Lungani, here with Adrian Nicholson. Eric is spending his summer in conferences and on vacation, so he's out for a few weeks, but he'll be back to join us in the not-too-distant future. Adrian, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, as always, Roshan. Happy to be here, as always. Looking forward to today's podcast. Ready to go.
Yeah, I agree. We've got an interesting topic today. There's been a lot talked about, are we going to have a recession or not? The consensus a few months ago was that there will be a recession this year. For everyone listening, how that impacts you is with your investments, typically the market bottoms during a recession. So those that are calling for a recession are saying we're going to test previous lows. Those that are saying we don't have to worry about a recession are saying the markets are going to take off. So Adrian and I are going to tackle that topic today of are we going to have a recession or not? And we'll give you our take. Adrian, why don't you start us off? What actually, if you don't mind me asking, let's start us off with your opinion. Where if you have to pick yes or recession or no, what is your thought?
So I'm going to go to first with my research for this topic. And I did feel overwhelmed with all the articles, the podcasts, social media posts. I went through as much as I could for preparing for this podcast, and it's just a lot. And if I just had to give my take with it, just to summarize it, I'll just go back to one of the big indicators that show whether a recession's on the horizon or not, and that's the inverted yield curve, which has been inverted for 200 plus days. And that typically, historically in the past, has signaled a recession. So my answer would just be yes, just going off the yield curve, because again, just researching for this topic, I was just overwhelmed. So many people saying there is going to be a recession. There are people out there that's saying there's not going to be one. The time frames have all been different. So I'm going to simplify today, just go to the yield curve, which has typically been a good indicator in the United States on whether a recession would happen or not. I'm wondering if you felt that way too, Roshan, where this topic in particular, I was just getting bogged down with all the articles, all of the commentary out there with it. It was just overwhelming. And sometimes that's just the case with these big topics.
Yeah, there, and I think that's why we decided to cover it. There's so much out there. I appreciate you answering the question with me, putting you on the spot with your outcome. So you're saying yes, based on an inverted yield curve. I'll give my thoughts are also yes. We'll go over the reasons in a second. I want to just explain the inverted yield curve. Do you mind explaining that to all of our listeners?
So a simple way of describing what the yield curve is where short-term rates are higher than long-term rates. And this shows that investors don't have a positive outlook in the future for the markets, the economy, whatever it may be. That's the best way to describe it, where short-term rates are paying you a lot more than long-term rates.
Now, and so looking at what's going on economically, there are, in general, if you're an investor and you're loaning your money, and to the government, talking about the short-term rates, well, typically, if you're going to lend your money out for a long time, you want to get paid more than lending your money for a short time. So the inverted yield curve means you're getting paid more to lend your money for a shorter time period than a longer one. And there could be a couple reasons for that, just trying to explain what's going on economically right now. One is the expectation that the Fed will lower rates, right? So if they're they are raising rates right now, so that may sound strange, lower rates. Well, if you're looking at a 10-year time period, the Fed and the markets are expecting that rates, though they're expected to go up again in the short term, they're expected to decline at some point in 2024. So that, to me, would naturally cause an inverted yield curve. I'm not saying we should minimize this one. What are your thoughts on that? The inverted yield curve, I'm going to summarize what I just said. The inverted yield curve is not predicting a recession because in this instance, it's been manufactured due to rapid rate hikes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you. And we talked about that on a previous podcast before. And what you're also talking about as well, that's something that people are going to be looking forward to or wondering what's going to happen is, like you mentioned, what the Fed's going to do with rates. Right now, people are expecting them to raise rates some more. And that's something that people need to be aware of. And the biggest thing why they're doing that, too, is what we talked about in previous podcasts, is inflation. And in my opinion, they're doing a pretty good job bringing down inflation. However, that 2% target is scary to me as well. Are they going to have to raise rates even more? Are they going to keep rates higher for longer as well, which could push us into a more serious recession and crack certain cracks in the economy as well may start to form if rates are higher for longer or they increase rates even more. So that's something too that you really have to consider and what investors are going to be watching for as well that plays into whether a recession happens or not. And the certain degree of the recession, is it going to be soft, mild, is it going to be a hard recession? That's also too a conversation we're having and discussing.
Yes, there is a lot that goes into this recession conversation because you're essentially predicting the entire country, right? The entire country's economy, all the businesses involved and where they're headed.
One thing I do like that I saw and heard about is a rolling recession where you're seeing certain pockets and sectors and industries getting impacted at different times and some may just avoid it at all. You saw it earlier on a couple months with manufacturing, car sales, whatever it may be, where you're seeing maybe certain pockets getting hit harder than others and what future sectors and industries may be impacted as well. So that's something too that people might want to check out, something that could be an impact as well, a rolling recession.
Let's expand on that then. So a rolling recession is when industries or the economy will shrink at various times, not together, which means that yes, we are getting those industries shrinking, but the overall economy is not. So we're not in a recession because these sectors are shrinking at a different time. A couple great examples is the housing industry took a huge drop initially when the Fed started raising rates, and then if you fast forward to now, housing has rebounded and new home sales have gone up 12% from April to May, even though we've had high interest rates. Now, so the housing declined and it has since recovered. Then, continuing still last year, you had the tech industry declining. And now this year, we had a podcast just a couple episodes ago talking about how tech is what drove the market up. And if you take out seven or eight of the top names, the S&P 500 is down. So you've seen tech decline and go back up. Spending has been high on travel and entertainment. That's been keeping things up. So that would be a rolling recession. Yes, you do have things declining, but it's not an overall recession in the economy because the economy is continuing to expand. I've definitely seen some arguments for that. What are your thoughts on that? I feel like that's what we've had so far. The question is that what's going to continue?
Yeah, so I'll touch on one of the points that you brought up was housing, how that bounced back, but also what goes into housing as well are higher interest rates on mortgage that people have been paying. And that's something too that could impact the consumer in the long run that may not be felt right now. So that's something else that people should really consider or see if that has played out yet in the economy, which could cause us to go into that recession, so to speak. But that's a good point that you brought up as well. And then also what you pointed out too is, people are traveling right now. You sent me an article as well that's showing that hotel rates are higher than ever since pre-pandemic levels. That's a good sign people are traveling. But overall, what economists are really looking at is to seeing, can this consumer spending that's happening, can that be maintained? What I mentioned before, too, with higher with higher home prices, higher mortgage rates right now, that could take consumer spending out as well. And also something that people are talking about as well, student loan payments are coming back into play as well, where that could suck some more liquidity out of the economy right now. So ultimately, the consumer right now is, the consumer spending levels are being closely monitored to see how that has been changed, because you really didn't see it impact greatly in the first half of the year. What's going to the second half, that might be a cause of concern.
Yeah, you touched on something really important that I want to go back over, is just spending, right? So what Adrian just mentioned, if you're spending more on your mortgage, you've got less money to spend on other items, right? So that's where those mortgage rates impacted. Next, credit card. If credit card debt numbers are going up, so if you're spending higher interest rates on your credit cards, you have less to spend elsewhere. Same with auto loans. And the other thing, Adrian, I'm not sure if this is what you were referring to or not, but student loan debt. There's been a moratorium on repayment that's going to go away, and that's going to take a lot of money out of the economy. You have to spend it to repay the student loan versus spending it on other items. So that these higher interest rates, part of it is the intent of the government to slow inflation, is to make people spend less. And so if you've got less dollars competing for goods, so you mentioned with hotels, hotel rates are up 10% from pre-pandemic levels. So we're not saying 10% from their lows. They're up 10% from previous high numbers. Well, if you have less people traveling, hotels will then have to discount those rates. So that's what the government's doing with increasing rates, is they're pulling money and liquidity out. That's an argument for the fact that they're raising rates and people have less money to spend. That's an argument that there would be a recession. However, what's going on currently, you know, with hotel rates up, with this rolling recession argument, those are arguments that are saying we won't have a recession. Let's actually start there, Adrian. Although we've started already going over the potential rolling recession, I put that a rolling recession in the category of no, we won't have a recession. Arguments against a recession happening. I'll throw out a couple others and get your thoughts. One is that consumer sentiment is higher, meaning people are more comfortable spending. Seniors are spending more money because there's been a boost in Social Security.
Yeah, I saw that one, Social Security increase. And with the other one that you mentioned, what was the first one that you mentioned again?
The consumer sentiment being
up. Yeah, and that's something that we spoke about recently on our financial confidence and banking podcast, where consumer confidence was at a low. But you mentioned that some of the things that are stressing people out and making them not as confident anymore are higher interest rates, inflation, the banking crisis, a number of things. And when we had that discussion, you said some of those things that people are concerned about are starting to be resolved, we're starting to get clear policy on it, and those worries are going away. So it is good seeing that confidence is starting to come back more.
Yeah, it definitely is. It seems to be continuing in that direction, another reason against it is that a lot of the short-term risks for a recession have gone away. One that was cited was just the debt ceiling. You know, Congress getting past that, making it almost a non-event from a market and economy perspective. Well, that was a huge risk to the economy that's now off the table.
Since you mentioned that too, it's also worth noting as well that there's still money flowing in from a lot of the policies that were in place, as far as the infrastructure bill, the Inflation Reduction Act. Although that money really still will slowly work its way into the economy as well. That could help us stay out of the recession as well, but that's just something that I'll probably have to research and look more into. Is there anything that you want to comment for that?
Well, $2 trillion, right? $2 trillion going to the economy. Infrastructure, Investment and Jobs Act, the Creating Helpful Incentives to Produce Semiconductors and Science Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. All that's $2 trillion of spending. So you and when these were approved and passed, we by Congress, we had put we had said in our podcast that these are going against what the Fed is trying to do at the time with raising rates. In particular, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act is spending more money, which is inflationary, right? Even though that's what it's called. But that could help us avoid a recession, all that spending. The other interesting thing against a recession is that a lot of the analysts have been delaying when they think a recession will happen, or they're saying the severity will be very minor. It won't be a severe recession, which allows the average consumer or the average investor to not be as concerned about it. So we started off, at least my interest in this recession conversation is to then think, okay, well, what do I as an investor look at or do? And if we're saying a mild recession and we don't need to be concerned about it, maybe the thought is you don't do anything or don't include this in your modeling or projections because it's not a significant factor. This is a great place for me to add our disclaimer that we add every time. Please consult with your advisor. This is not advice. This is just an intellectual discussion on the recession risk. And if you need an advisor to talk to, Adrian and I are available to help. But please, this is not advice or investment recommendations at all. So back to the program, though, Adrian, is if the talk is a mild recession or no recession, you're looking at really minimal levels of risk. Do you have any other major items or that would argue that there will not be a recession before we go into the arguments that there will be a recession?
Well, a topic I want to discuss with you, and I'd love to get your opinion on it, is the labor market. I really can't put my finger on how the labor market is, where I'm seeing that it's still strong, but then I'm hearing stuff where it's really hard to get a job right now, or incomes aren't really keeping pace. So the labor market overall has been strong for the first half of the year. I think that's one of the things that helped us stay out of the recession for now. That's one of the things that people really should take a look at as well, because that's a really integral part of a recession being hard, mild, soft, whatever it may be, is the status of the labor market.
Yeah, I think the labor market is why we're not in a recession. You know, just with some of the data that's come out previously, and the thing that's been cited is that the strong labor market is why we have not technically been in a recession. So yeah, that is the strength of the labor market is an argument that a recession won't happen.
But I gotta imagine if the Fed just continues to keep rates higher for longer, or just increase rates as well, and it causes a somewhat of a slowdown, it will significantly impact some companies that do rely on easy liquidity or lower rates as well to start laying off people and just create a tighter economy as a whole, which we know just directly impacts the labor market, where the labor market may be really strong now, but can it continue with these higher rates? I'm not sure, but that's just something that I think really is a main point with whether we're going to be in a recession or not, when it does happen or not. So that's something too that I think is just worth discussing.
With the labor market, we're still at close to half century lows of 3.7%. Another argument about going against a recession that we didn't mention is that manufacturing has stayed strong, and the market, I mentioned the Fed and raising the debt ceiling, the markets also, you know, sort of shook off the banking crisis after Silicon Valley Bank failed. The markets are ahead of where they were before that happened, and, you know, well beyond those lows. Another no to a recession argument is Goldman Sachs has lowered their likelihood of a recession, their projections from 35% to 25%. Now I'll have a counterpoint on that as we go to the arguments for why there will be a recession. I wanted to touch those last items and then go back to labor because I saw another term that was interesting. The term was richcession, R-I-C-H-S-E-S-S-I-O-N. And that was essentially saying that the layoffs are affecting mainly white collar and wealthier individuals. You're talking about the labor market. So you have less job loss that's being offset by either more job gain. So one person loses a job, but two people get a job. That one person's income may be higher than the other two, but that's how the percentage, the numbers would be impacted as not only in that scenario, a zero impact, but actually a lowering of unemployment. But second, these people being laid off are well-educated and will likely find a job quickly. And these people being laid off, because they're more affluent, typically have savings and are able to still keep spending, so they don't have to make major cutbacks. So that's another subcategory, like a rolling recession. But both a rolling recession and this term richcession are both saying essentially things are contracting in certain areas, but we're not having a recession.
Mm-hmm. And I guess my final point maybe to this, which will tie into it as well, as earnings. Last earnings season, I think, probably went well because everybody was expecting the first half to be that recession happening. Everything gets a lot tighter because of rates impacting the market. But some companies did well. Some companies didn't do too well. Forecasts were pretty much in line or not that great as well, where it was a mixed bag. But I was expecting the first half of the year earnings to be a lot worse than they actually were. I guess this next earnings season coming up would really paint a better picture on how companies are expected to do in the future as well. So that's something too that will tie into how the labor market is going to be for the second half of the year going to next year. So that's something too that might paint a better picture on where we're headed as far as the economy and the markets.
Yeah, we're just a couple weeks away from Q2's earnings season to come out. So we'll see how that impacts it. But yes, earnings have been strong. Another argument that says no to a recession. What are some of the arguments that are saying yes to a recession? You mentioned the inverted yield curve as one. And generally, those have preceded a recession by 7 months to 2 years, with the average being 15 months. That 15-month time frame from yield curve inversion pushes us to about October. So that's the, if you looking at the yield curve, and once again, that's an average, which on things like this, I'm not the biggest fan of using, but that's the argument for yes, there would be a recession. I mentioned that Goldman Sachs lowered their likelihood down to 25%, and that I had a counter for that. The counter is that the New York Fed Reserve has said there's a 71% likelihood of a recession in the next 12 months in their recession probability models. That's just a counter there. What other data points do you have that would argue that yes, there will be a recession?
So I don't have the exact stat, but I had a Bloomberg article that I was looking at where they just took a survey, and the survey was conducting whether or not we'd be in a recession or not. And it was a Bloomberg survey with all the respondents saying that there was a 60% chance of a recession happening. I'm not sure whether it was this year or the next year. So that's another data point that I was referring to as well, just on top of the inverted yield curve. But again, there was just so much information out there. I'm just going to, for the sake of this podcast, I'll just stick to those two as reasons why I think that a recession's still on the table as well. But again, just varying degrees, I think, is a really important, whether it's going to be a hard recession, a mild one, a soft one. So that's something too that I'll just point out.
Yeah, and your point you brought up earlier about the labor market, I think that really is the driving force, right? If the labor market continues to stay strong, then the likelihood of a recession goes down, and the likelihood of a severe recession goes way down. The point being, it could be no recession or mild as long as the labor market stays strong, and taking that a step further back, as long as consumer spending stays strong, the labor market will stay strong. So there really isn't necessarily a leading indicator of that of it pulling back. There was one data point that we didn't touch on that I found interesting that I just need to look through my notes to find, and this was the leading economic index, which is done by the Conference Board, and what they've got is they take a multiple data points, U.S. building permits, average hours worked, manufacturers' new orders. That's just to name a few, and they take these indicators and then they create an index. Now their index is actually stating, yes, there'll be a recession in somewhere in the third. They're saying with the third to fourth quarter, because of tightness in monetary policy, essentially the Fed rate hikes. So they're still their data point is still saying yes, there will be, but the counter to that is it likely to be mild, right? So even if let's say the New York Fed is right and that we're gonna have a recession, but it's mild, does it really a matter in the sense that is it something worth taking note of or looking into when you're making your investment decisions?
Just a good point as well. And when it comes to predicting these type of things, especially on the short term, it can be really difficult because markets, the economy, just new headlines come out just every day that can really change people's decision on it. So that's why you're just seeing people really take both sides, because on the short term, it's going to be really hard to predict.
Yeah. Yes. And I try to make sure this can be used on a practical basis. And I do wonder, as I was researching this, even before it's something that people seem to be interested in. And so I thought it was something we should address, but I do wonder if, from an investment perspective, if time spent should really be more in researching further your investments and looking for opportunities, as opposed to trying to predict if there will or won't be a recession, just because I think you'll get a bigger bang for your buck, so to speak, or better use of your time in finding the investment. And if a recession happens and that goes down and you're a long-term investor, that investment you found should hopefully still be a strong investment for you to own and keep, thereby meaning the time spent researching the recession would be essentially less valuable.
I mean, it's a great point too, because just given all this discussion and conversation we had today, especially when it comes to looking for investment opportunity as well, it's a big decision, because if people are concerned that there is a recession on the horizon, that's something that people really will evaluate and see their portfolio. What do they own right now that can withstand this if this is a possibility? What do they have that can't withstand this if this does or does not happen? That's something that you just really need to consider. That's where I think you can find the value in this as well, really seeing where you're positioned right now to see if you need to make any changes.
And if you are a long-term investor, as we would encourage you to be, not a short-term speculator or gambler, so to speak, if you're a long-term investor and you're going to own, and I'm using stock as an example, but you're going to own shares of a company for, 10 years, there will be a recession in there at some point. But if you made that investment decision wisely, you bought a good company, you'll be fine. So in the short run, maybe if there is a recession and you wait it out and then the price goes down, you may have saved a few cents or a few dollars per share now, but the big picture of that company you own for the long term, those few dollars or few cents per share you've saved will probably not be the significant factor in your investment performance. The significant factor will be how that company builds and grows in the long run.
I mean, that's a great point, because you can really see that today, where there are a few companies that are just driving the market higher, where a lot of other companies, their prices are really reflecting a recession or hard times ahead, and they're not really experiencing that growth. Or that might just be an opportunity if there's a particular company you've done your research with that you think has a great growth potential as well. You could be getting that at a discount right now because the market overall is really just ignoring it at this point because all of these other stocks are just experiencing this huge growth right now in the short term as well. So all stuff to really look at.
Agreed. I'm going to take you back to my original question and add a follow-up to it. So in conclusion, Adrian, please share your recession thoughts. And then I'd ask you to also share as an investor, how do you use this information?
Mm-hmm. So again, there is a good degree or a good chance that a recession is possible within the near term future as far as this surveys, the economy, and what the Fed's doing right now to really tie in to fight inflation right now. And ultimately how that leads to just investment decision-making is just really look at your risk-reward profile. Are you getting paid to take on the amount of risk that's out there right now with all the things that we really laid out for you? So just really see where you're positioned, if you need to make any changes right now, or just seeing what you can do to really protect yourself in this type of economy and market.
Yeah, and I'll do the same of answering those questions. That was a great response. Do I believe there will be a recession? I'd say yes, but if you're watching, you sort of saw me shake my head. I say yes, but I do lean towards that it will be more mild if there is one. And with that being the case, I would tell you, focus on your process of finding good investments and let that part sort of shake out as it does. Once again, this is not investment advice. This is what I would look at doing. The other thing is if I am really concerned about the recession and the overall impact, you look at having some hedges and some cash in the portfolio, but I would still let the economy determine if there's a recession and let you determine as an investor if there are good deals to invest in at the time. So once again, just something to think about, not any investment advice. If you want any of that, reach out to us directly. And thank you for joining us today. This has been another episode of the Retirement Lifestyle Show. We'll be back next week with another great episode. And I'm using Adrian's quote from last time as our new tagline, take control and achieve your goals. We'll be back next week.
Schedule a conversation with Roshan, Adrian, or Eric today at retirementlifestyleshow.com. Roshan and Eric are certified financial planner practitioners. They, along with Adrian, are investment advisor representatives and serve clients across the U.S. with financial planning and investment advice through RHA Wealth. If you found this show helpful, gained knowledge, or enjoyed the time you spent with us, tell your friends and leave us a 5-star review. This will help others discover the show. To access our show notes, to download any of the tools mentioned in today's podcast, to ask us a question, or to schedule a conversation, go to retirementlifestyleshow.com. All opinions expressed by podcast hosts and guests are solely their own. While based on information they believe is reliable, neither RHA Wealth nor its affiliates warrants its completeness or accuracy, nor do their opinions reflect the opinion of RHA Wealth. This podcast is for general informational purposes only and should not be regarded as specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. The show hosts offer investment advice through RHA Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor, and securities through RHA Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and NFA. Finally, our music is The Chance, by Jason Shaw in Audionautics. It's part of the YouTube Audio Library and it's licensed under a Creative Commons license. I am Ray Voices. Thank you for listening.